We're talking with Zealand Congressman Bill Heisinger, and your name was the first that came to mind when the White House announced earlier this week that those who don't sign up by March 31st for health care coverage, as long as they can prove that they have attempted to sign up, they'll be able to get a little bit of an extension of a deadline. This is just very consistent with what the administration has done ever since now four-year-old Obamacare came into being.
Well, but don't call it a delay, according to Harry Reid. Now, that is what they're afraid of it being labeled again, because actions speak louder than words. And once again, this administration is admitting that this law does not work, not certainly in their words, but in their actions. And it's so frustrating. They are continuing to choose what parts of the law they want to enforce. It's a law that this president helped craft. He certainly signed into law. He signed, put the provisions in place. But they just seem to not have the ability to admit that we need major overhaul of it. And it's just incredibly frustrating.
What do you see eventually happening? Can something be done in a political year, in an election year, or is it simply going to be a case of push, delay, and hold things off until after November 4?
Yeah, it's delay, delay, delay. I mean, that's why we saw a few weeks ago when they came out and requested that notices of increases in premiums and those kinds of things not happen in September and October. They wanted them after the election, of course. So, and the simple fact is that that Harry Reid is continuing to just hold things up. We send bills over to him. They die over on the Senate desk of Harry Reid, and somehow he thinks that's our fault, my fault, over here in the House of Representatives. And it's like, excuse me, I'm sorry, but if you would even look at a few of the 150 plus bills that we have sent over there that are just languishing, trying to deal with this, that would be helpful for the American people.
I'm not certain whether or not this is just what past opposition leaders have done, be it a Republican majority leader in the House letting Senate bills die, or a Senate Democratic leader in the doing the same on Republican House bills, or vice versa, whatever. It just seems as if this is something that maybe has been somewhat historic, and maybe somebody's got to be strong enough and courageous enough to try to stop this.
Well, and certainly it's the American people. If you look at where the American people are right now, the president has never seen this low of an approval rating and across all sectors, whether it's his foreign policy handling of what's happening in Iran and in Russia, certainly in the Crimea, or whether it is on health care, whether it's in the economy. A majority of Americans believe that this president's failing.
The other thing, too, is that some of the people, people can feel that they have a direct say on voting for the president of the United States. He's on the ballot. But people in Michigan can't do a thing about Harry Reid because he's on the Nevada ballot. And as long as the people in Nevada keep voting him in, he's still, as long as the Democrats hold on to the power in the Senate, he's still going to be their leader.
He will be, but he needs a majority of his members, and Michigan will have a say in this in 2014. We're going to be electing a new senator after the retirement of Carl Levin, and so that is a way for people's voice to be heard
in that type of situation. We're talking with Zealand Congressman Bill Heisinger. Immigration reform has been put on the back burner to a certain extent by some of the other issues that have crowded up on Capitol Hill, but the national bus tour, Fast for Families, putting pressure on your colleague to the south, Fred Upton, to support immigration reform with a path to citizenship this year. I just find it kind of ironic that they go to Kalamazoo, but they aren't going to Grand Rapids to try to petition Mr. Amash or to Holland or to Muskegon to try to petition Mr. Huizinga on this. It seems as if they're picking and choosing who they want to pressure.
I think they're looking for the higher profile, and as chairman of Energy and Commerce, that might be why they're doing that. Maybe they're trying to save gas money. You know, in the Obama economy, fuel is very expensive. They just don't want to drive that far north. I don't know why, but there's a lot of us that know and believe that that we have to deal with this issue. And why they're choosing who they're choosing, I can't ever get into their head on that one.
I would think that you would be somebody they would want to talk to because of the strong agricultural influence, not only in Ottawa County but also in the northern part of the district that you have.
Well, as does Fred, obviously, with all the agriculture that happens in the southern part of the state. Look, these groups are not consistent. They are there to do a couple of things. One of those things is to raise money. One of those things is, they'll oftentimes tour around, just trying to make trouble.
We're talking with Zealand Congressman Bill Huizinga. What do you make of the effort by some states to try to get Congress to call a constitutional convention so that there will be a balanced budget amendment to the U.S. Constitution? Michigan apparently is the latest state to join in that bandwagon.
Well, certainly I have supported a national constitutional amendment for a balanced budget. That's what we had in the state of Michigan when I served in the state legislature. I think it would be very helpful. I was part of the original founding balanced budget amendment caucus, the BBA caucus. The question is are we going to go to a national convention? And this debate has happened in the state of Michigan as well, whether we would do a state constitutional convention. They call them con-cons. And at that point, everything gets opened up. I'm not sure that we want to go and revisit whether it's First Amendment or Second Amendment rights right now. But look, a couple of years ago, we had the exact same amendment that had been proposed back in the middle 90s. And unfortunately, about 20, 25 of my colleagues from the other side of the aisle who had supported it back in 1995 refused to support it in 2011 or 2012 when we had done that. And that's an inconsistency that doesn't make any sense. Our situation fiscally and financially has gotten worse, not better. If ever we needed an amendment to the Constitution to balance our budget, it's now.
Answer me this, Bill, and I apologize for ignorance on this. If a constitutional convention on a national level is called, can it be directed at one topic, or is the entire document then open for discussion?
Well, that's a good question, we have a process now of amending the Constitution, that hasn't been done real recently. But it has been done. So what this call for a constitutional convention, I'm assuming, is that people are wanting to open up the entire discussion. I've not seen the resolution from the state, but we'll definitely look at that. But we have a method, and it can either originate in the U.S. Congress, which is what we tried to do with this BBA, or it can originate in the states as well. And that either route would be acceptable to me.
Okay, the reason why I was asking that, Bill, is that if it is, like in Michigan, where if you call a constitutional convention, the entire document is up for review, could a constitutional convention by supporters looking for a balanced budget amendment, if it does open up the entire document, could be used as a wedge for other groups that have other agendas, i.e. same-sex marriage, most notably, be able to do something about that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if it opens up to everything, it's not going to be focused. It's going to be very wide ranging with every interest group that has an issue getting into it. Now, I'm not sure how in the world we would choose the delegates. So, like I said, I'm not have not seen the the resolution from the state. So I'd be curious to see what they're requesting specifically.
And I hate to say this, Bill, but I don't see enough statesmen in the nation's elected leaders to be able to have the courage to be able to make decisions on such a constitutional convention that would be unpopular and that could risk them being not reelected. I just don't see that right now.
Well, people believe that Congress and the government that we have, this divided government we have right now, is unworkable and unmanageable. So I'm not sure what doing a national constitutional convention would look like.
All right, let's move on to one final topic, and we're talking about leadership and possible new leadership in Washington. You were a part of the National Republican Congressional Committee's annual fundraising dinner, and Condoleezza Rice was the featured speaker, and leading to some speculation that she might be planting the seeds for a possible 2016 presidential run. Others just say she's just helping the Republican cause, which she's done for over the last few years. You've had a chance not only to hear her, but also talk to some other people as well. Are you getting the sense now that the players are starting to get in position for who could be running for the White House in 2016 right now?
Well, I think there's certainly, you've got your folks, some of who are in the Senate, positioning themselves already and have been for quite a while. But yesterday I met with Mike Huckabee for quite a while, and fascinating what he has to say, and I think he really captures a tone and tenor in many ways that there's this craving for leadership that is out there. I think he brings that. I think that Condoleezza Rice, she was phenomenal last night. There's a group of us having breakfast with her this morning as well. She has an amazing insight, and just her story, her family's story of her rise to prominence is truly the American success story. But most indications are she is not interested in getting back into the fray. As she said last night, she enjoys picking up the newspaper, reading about a situation and going, huh, that's very interesting, and moving along to the rest of her day rather than worrying about all the details of what's in the news that particular day. But clearly her expertise in Russia right now, she was a PhD in Russian studies, and that expertise could have been used the last few months. Unfortunately, we find ourselves in this situation with a muddled foreign policy at best. So, she certainly could bring leadership.
We could talk about a lot of other things when you open up the word foreign policy in Russia, but Bill, we're out of time. I appreciate your thoughts and insights and some of the issues of the day. Wish you and your family well this coming weekend, and I look forward to talking to you again next Thursday morning.
Sounds great. Thanks, Gary.